You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. This morning. I was sitting here and watching the news. I looked at the clock. It said 6:39. But I might have read it wrong. I might have said 6:59. I said, that's earlier than I thought it was. So I'm sitting here. All of a sudden I look at the clock. 7:08? What the? Anyway, with apologies for being late, that's the explanation, though. Hell, I've been up since 3:15. Yeah. So, welcome to our house. The tribal headquarters for All Marine Radio here on a Monday, the 14th day of January. Back in Southern California after, honestly, one of the most incredible weeks of my life. It was unbelievable. And my thanks to a great friend of mine, Dave Furness, Commanding General, 2nd Marine Division, and everybody who helped get us there. And then all the Marines who sat through somewhere between 2.5 to 3 hours of a presentation. And then everybody after that that has written an email, sent a text message to say thank you, posted something on the Facebook page to say, holy shit, what was that? So we're still trying to figure that out. The President of the United States just went off on in the driveway of the White House. He's not happy, so we'll talk about that this morning. But on the program today, I'll tell you what we're going to do. General Furness is going to come on the program this morning, and you're going to get his thoughts on why he brought that program, to the 2nd Marine Division. You'll hear, after that, you'll hear, we'll talk about what he was looking for from it, what he wanted to see happen, and then get his thoughts on the aftermath of it. So you'll hear that. We actually recorded that yesterday, and I would tell you, don't miss that. If you have any if you have any friends, you know, well, you can tune in live, or they can tune in live, or they can always download it on the podcast. It'll be up there. But it's pretty interesting stuff, And like I said, the experience was unbelievable. Honestly, I have done this for going on 3 years now, and I know the power of the truth, right? And that whole phrase, it lands with a thud and it needs no salesman, came from me listening, I want to say, to Jack Riley. And you know, all guys, and you know, a corporal squad leader in Vietnam, talking about, you know, his life and how and the different things that have affected his life, and you know, and how he's lived it and how he's navigated it. And so, so it was an incredible week, and flew home on Saturday morning. I flew home. I'll share a really cool story with you. My plane flew out of Jacksonville, North Carolina at 5:22 a.m. Exactly. So I don't know what time I got up, 3:30. I got up, leave at 3:30. You know, get every, I'd already packed, shower, you know, get my shit together, and head for the airport. Going to stop and get gas, because that's what you do with, and when you're going to drop off a rental car. And I couldn't open the gas tank. There was no button for it, and you push the thing, and it didn't open. So I looked at it, and I'm not going to sit here and waste my time, so screw it. They can charge me for it. So I go to the gas station, or I go to the airport and hop on a flight, fly to Charlotte, which is, I don't know, a 30-minute flight. Get off the flight in Charlottesville, and my phone starts buzzing, and I look, and there's an email from a Marine who's staff sergeant, and he's an officer of the day, and he sends the following. Well, hold on, I'll read it to you. I was going to recite it from memory, but I don't need to do that. Yeah, I'll share some of the emails. Honestly, the stuff that people write, when people use the word life changing, honestly, think about that. Somebody, how often have you ever sent something with the phrase life changing in it? Probably never, right? I don't know that I have. How many times have you sent something that says, this is the best thing I've ever seen? So when you get that in multiples, it freezes you. Literally, freezes you. And I know the power of this because I listen to it all the time, right? And I've done radio between my deployments and my time on active duty since the year 2000. And I know the compelling nature of people's story, their voice, and whatnot. People don't use terms like that. So when you hear that, it freezes you. So anyway, so this was waiting for, I get off the flight in Charlotte, North Carolina, at the airport, and I'm reading as I'm walking to the next gate, because I got to catch a flight. I think I had like 30 or 40 minutes on the ground there before I flew from there to Phoenix. I left my code in Phoenix. I'm on the phone talking to General Furness. I take my code off because I'm at the gate. I'm standing there talking to him, and I look in their boarding, and I'm distracted, so I grab my backpack, I put it on, I forget my toggle coat in the Phoenix airport. Hopefully I'll hear from them today. But if that's the worst thing that happened during the trip, then I'm all right with it. Anyway, but I love that coat. It's a great coat. So here's the email that I got that I'm reading. Good morning. It's 0543 Eastern Time in Camp Lejeune. My name is, and he gives his name. I'm with, and he gives the battalion. While on duty tonight, a Marine asked to speak with me. He started to share some traumatic life experiences he was facing, which led to a black hole of trauma in his life. I'm not a psych or a doc, and I wasn't sure how to help until I remembered you coming to Camp Lejeune sometime last week to speak to the 2nd Marine Division. I shared with him the 2 goals and the 8 commandments. It started to help, and then he began to share more. He felt as though he couldn't have PTSD because he hasn't seen combat. I told him that's ridiculous. Almost everything he's been through is worse. I tried calling your number, no answer. If we could speak to you, I believe we can really help this Marine. Please contact me. So I called him. And he and the Marine and their platoon commander was there by that time. And so we sat and talked. And the coolest part of it, is the coolest part of the whole thing was you want people to do these things, right? You want them to do these things. But they never do them, right? And you send them to PME, but, you know, they've forgotten most of it by the time they've gotten their car in the parking lot. And so I'm sitting there looking at it going, you got to be kidding me. Now, we had a similar event the day before with a Marine who the audiovisual guy walks up and says he can't sit in this. His father committed suicide. His uncle murdered his mother. His uncle murdered his own wife and then killed himself. His brother committed suicide as well. And he says, I can't sit through this class. They make me angry. And I looked at him. I said, you need to sit through this. This is the class you need to sit through. It's not bullshit. And so we went into this little cafe and sat down. And, you know, it was Mike and Josh and I. And, you know, we were just sitting there talking. And he looked at me and he said, does the pain ever go away? And I said, no. I said, but let me tell you something. You know, we can help you. You know, you're looking at the land of broken toys here. And then in the middle of that, General Furness walks in. He sees us sitting there, and he's like, hey, what's going on? And then he looks, he goes, oh, never mind. Pulls up a chair and sits down. And then he joins the conversation. So this Marine's a Lance Corporal. it's an awesome story, though. It's an awesome story about what I love about my friends. So it's Mike and Josh and me and General Furness. Dave to me. And we're talking, but we got to go start the program, right? And Dave and I speak first. So we're talking, and Dave looks at him and says, look, I want you to sit in this class. Sit in the back, sit by the door. If you have to leave, leave, and then come back in, all right? I promise you that you'll feel better after sitting through this class. You know, he's got tears in his eyes, and you know, and he says, yes, sir. And so Dave stands up, and he says, stand up, devil dog, and he gives him a hug. He said, gonna be all right. And I was like, holy shit! So we're walking out, and Mike and Josh are in front of me, and I'm with this Marine, and I looked at him, and I said, you just got hugged by the CG. And he said, that was weird, sir. I'm not gonna lie. He said, it's not exactly the way I wanted to meet him. I said, hey, look, man, we all fight it. Wait till you hear the story that he tells. And you will hear that in the second hour. He'll talk about it. And, I mean, that happened on Friday. And so these things start happening, and you're going, people are buying into this. Because the audio-visual guy, he didn't have to come to me. He could have just said, hey, man, take off. But he had sat through it, and he came up to me, his former Marine, and he said, he said, sir, this is really cool. I've never seen anything like this. You know, and he said, it's really funny sitting up here in front watching the Marines. Because they come in here, this is mandatory training. And you know how excited we all get. You know how excited we all get for mandatory training. Like, please make it go by fast. He said, and I sit up here and watch them. And how they're drawn into it and how they're paying attention. He said, sir, he said, honestly, I've never seen anything like it. So, and that happened every day, happened every afternoon, it happened every night. And then, let me read you another email. This is from a spouse. Good morning. I was so fortunate to join you last night for the spouse PME held at the Camp Lejeune O Club. Now, we did that twice. We did it on Tuesday and Thursday nights. Never before have I left a PME with mascara running down my face and proclaiming the event was life-changing. My husband, says his name, and says what he does. We spent the entire evening talking about the program and the mission of All Marine Radio. We have all lost Marine Corps friends to suicide, and it leaves you empty and confused and questioning, did we do our best to keep in touch and stay connected? This summer, our unit experienced the greatest loss of one of our own. The pain and the tears from his friends and family will be with us forever. Thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. My husband and I are in the middle of this journey, and your time at Lejeune this week has planted a seed of hope in all of us. And then she signed her name. And these things kept coming in. And so last week, I know I speak for myself, Mike and Josh are going to come on in the third hour. And, I mean, it was a lot. It was a lot. Even for me, who knew the power of it, to see it resonate with young Marines, with middle-aged Marines, with older Marines. I'll read you an email from the Sergeant Major of the 10th Marine Regiment. Listen to this. So I wanted to thank you, Gunner and Josh, for coming to Camp Lejeune and talking to us. It has been the most impactful PME/training/education of my career. Now, this is a Sergeant Major writing this. Your team's genuine passion for the topic and unvarnished presentation was refreshing and needed. Thank you! Exclamation mark. I hope you all continue to bring your message to all who ask, and that we can get ahead of this epidemic that is killing our Marines and sailors. You all touched a lot of lives and are absolutely the talk of the division right now. It's pretty incredible. I've attached a copy of a book. It's probably Man's Search for Meaning, actually. It is probably the finest book I've ever read. I agree with Josh. A lot of my Marines were asking for it yesterday, so I assume that goes for everyone. I don't know if you can upload it to your All Marine Radio website, but I think folks would download the heck out of it. Thanks again for coming, sir. I think that your impact was immeasurable. Semper Fidelis, Sergeant Major Jake Reef, Regimental Sergeant Major, 10th Marine Regiment, artillery guys, 2nd Marine Division. That guy's been around forever, okay? And so you look at that and you read it, and you're, you know, again, I say stunned, and for me, actually what my brain's saying to me is it's working. It's working. Here's another one. Hey, Mac, just want to tell you how awesome the brief was yesterday. I had a lot of my Marines talking about how much they got out of the training. This is by far the most beneficial thing the Marines were exposed to. They needed that! Exclamation mark. You are on point. We need to fix this problem. Looking around, I haven't seen so many Marines fully engaged and alert with what you were saying. I talked to you yesterday after the brief. You three need to tour the Corps with this. This is what they need. Not just the PFCs and the Lance Corporal, but senior Marines got something out of it too. Keep spreading the word and saving lives. Right? The last sentence, keep spreading the word and saving lives. I'll share one more. I'll share one more for you with you. And again, it's just like I said, you look at it and you think, this is incredible. This is absolutely, positively incredible. Good evening, sir. I just want to thank you for the training event that you had with us yesterday. It really meant a lot for one who has seen a lot of training that pertains to the subject. It was by far the best one I have ever been to. I'd say a month prior, I went to a similar class, and they told me to hold a rock. And for the life of me, I think I would rather have eaten the rock than listen to them talk. But your talk was amazing. I even told my wife about it, and she was so happy that I found a class that I resonated with. All I can say is thank you. Like, what do you say to that? Here's another one. This was posted on the website. To all my brothers out there fighting their own demons, today I received one of the greatest periods of instruction on resiliency that I have ever had. I really appreciate these gentlemen for sharing not only their combat stories, but also their personal life stories, how they dealt with their trauma. Thank you to Allmarine Radio for educating so many of us today so we can help find a solution to our suicide problem in the core. This guy saw that and then wrote this. I'm sharing this because I share the same sentiment as the damn good first sergeant, and he lists his name. Over the past 27 years, I've received countless PMEs on various subjects, and none of them have come close to this PME. AllMarineRadio.com has put together something special, something that all Marines can put in their toolbox to help themselves, to help fellow Marines, hell, to help anyone! Exclamation mark. The bottom line is we all need to be able to talk about our traumas in forums where we are not too macho or ridiculed. There are so many quality quotes during the PME, but my favorite is only we can fix this. The Marine Corps or any other organization can't do shit about it. It starts with us. Everyone should go to Allmarine Radio and click on 2 Goals and 8 Commandments. It will change the way you think. With that being said, my phone is always on and my door is always open. Please do not hesitate to call me, message me, and walk through my door. I will listen, not just hear you. If you know Papa Bear, I'm here for you. Oh, here's one more. This is from a friend of mine that I served with Afghanistan with. I've heard before ad nauseum about the great group of Marines and sailors that I went to Afghanistan with. Mike's part of it. General Furness is part of it. And this is from the commanding officer of CLB 24, Joe Garreau. He was our logistics officer. One of his deputies, like his third in command in Afghanistan, is the Marine that I call Superman, Lieutenant Brock Schiller. He's now a major. So they're working together again. Joe's a CO of CLB 24 Combat Logistics Battalion, and Brock is the OPSO, so they're not part of the division. So General Furness brought us back there to speak to the division, and he had every night filled up except Wednesday. So I sent Joe a text. Hey, look, I don't know if you've heard that we're coming, but I'd like you to come see this thing. I think you'll like it. And so Joe said, hey, why don't you come over and do it at my place? I'll have my entire staff there. I said, let me talk to the general. General said, that's great. The general and Joe are Ohio State Buckeye fans, right? So they're buddies, Ohio State buddies. So the general says, I'll go with you, and I'll do the introduction. Like, this is awesome. So we went over there. This email comes from Joe afterwards. And he says the guy's name. He's my independent duty corpsman. Quote, sir, after 16 years in the Navy, that was the best training I've ever had. And he's a medical, right? He's a medical guy. And so chaplains came up, medical people came up, and some of them had their own, you know, their own spin on the thing, which everybody should, right? Everybody should. And so... And so it's just, you know, like I said, it's just amazing, you know, this response. And then here's another email from another friend, somebody who I know. Dude, exclamation mark, I love you guys. Seriously, I believe your pitch is the Lord's work. I'm fanning the flame with my organization and others. My Marines and sailors loved it. So, um, So again, pretty incredible week. And so on the flight home, I had a chance to start. And let me just give you an example of a day. I get up at, I don't know, 5 something, and shower. And then I would do the first hour of the show. I'd record that. We would have already kind of recorded the second hour, which was, the second hour was what we thought about the day before, what we had done. And it's kind of cool to listen to now. And so I do that. And so if I started recording like at 6, you know, no later than like 6:15, I'd finish at 7:15, wrap it all up, pack my trash, be in the lobby at 7:30. Mike and Josh and I would get in the car and we'd go have breakfast at a place called Helen's. And then at about 8:15, we'd leave there to get to the Staff and CEO Academy where we did the program. And the room held about 1,000. I think 975 was what it held. And so we'd go there. We'd set everything up. And then we'd do it. It normally lasted between 2.5 and 3 hours. By the time you finished talking to the people that wanted to come up and speak to you afterwards, and they ranged from young Marines who had incredible trauma in their life, who you touched, to senior Marines wanting to talk about who were blown away by it. And so that would take us, so if we started at 9:30, that would take us till, you know, probably close to 12:30, which, and the next one didn't start till 2:30. So we had about, you know, we had a couple hours. And so we, then I'd have to load stuff to the website, right? So load the programs to the website so people could listen to them. And then make whatever tweaks we were making to the program itself. And then, and normally that would take, you know, the 2 hours, and then other people come in looking for you to, you know, do you have a minute? Sure, I have a minute. And then do it a second time, so sort of 2:30, you know, end between 5 and 5:30, and normally we had another one to go to at 5:30. So we'd hop in the car, we'd go someplace else, and we'd get there, and we'd get ready, and then we'd do another one from 5:30 to between 8 and 8:30, and then stay after for another 45 minutes, an hour. Right, so 9:30, go to dinner at 9:30, right? Normally, the second time we've eaten all day, and then eat. So 9:30 to 10:30, go back, record something. 11:15, I'd refine that, and then again, any other tweaks or emails or whatever. So getting in bed normally between midnight and 1 o'clock. So I mean, busy days, but incredibly, I mean, just full. Wonderful days that you dream about during your life. So, text message from my boy Maceo. Tell everyone what are the two goals in the Eight Commandments. All right. If first of all, if you've never seen them, I'll go through them real quick. But you can find them if you go to the All Marine Radio website. Go to the All Marine Radio website, and then if you hover over post-traumatic winning, you'll see two goals and eight commandments. There's also, you'll see the link to a video, Keep Your Honor Clean, and then you'll see PTW, post-traumatic winning resources. That's got a lot of the stuff that's in the presentation. Okay, so if you click on two goals and eight commandments, there's a thing that comes up. If you want to download it, the one you download is in white paper. That way you can print it off and you're not killing your printer. Right. See how respectful I am of the environment. So these are the first goal is to coexist. And this comes from my life. It comes with all the interviews, close to 3 years of interviewing people with a focus on mental health. So no matter where we start the interview, at some point it's going mental health. And just, you know, in my life, I've been dealing with this since 1993. So what is that, 35 years of dealing with this since, bad trauma darkened my doorstep. And so coexisting, you have to commit to three things. One, become a lifelong learner. Study it. Read about it. Okay? And with the emphasis on, you can do this. You can live the life you want to live. You can live a great life. And in certain ways, although we'd all like to have trauma never darken our doorstep, you can live a life beyond what you thought if you'll do, if you'll embrace the principles of post-traumatic winning. Read the book Struggle Well. It's written by Ken Falk and Josh Goldberg. Struggle Well, you can find it online. It's an audio book, blah, 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 blah. All right? And then watch the movie I Am Elizabeth Smart. It's on Amazon.com. I think it costs you $5 to Amazon Prime. I think it costs you $5 to watch. If you can find it for free, why not? Watch it for free. So that's the first goal, is coexist. And then the eight commandments are this. Trauma is a normal part of life and affects most of the population at some point, right? We're not special. It's a regular part of life. In fact, we had an interesting discussion. People draw life, if they were going to draw you a line that goes with their life, they draw a flat line and they'd say, okay, this is my life. And then trauma enters and it veers down. And we were talking about it. I said, but the straight line isn't life. Trauma is a part of life. So it should naturally, what's normal is the wave, is the up and down of life. And if you accept that, then trauma is not extraordinary, right? So anyway, we have that discussion in here. And then people thrive after trauma. And we're going to teach you how to do that. We're going to help you do that. Number two, trauma is trauma. Whether it's child abuse, physical or sexual assault, violent crime, tragedy, combat, illness, doesn't matter. It's all the same. And I think we as guys who fought sometimes think the only, our PTSD is better or combat PTSD is better than Elizabeth Smart's PTSD. Raped every night at the age of 14 for 9 months. I think hers is better than mine. And so we say, get that out of your head. Trauma is trauma. And it's important to understand that. And you heard it in the email, right? That staff sergeant talking to a Marine who says, I can't have PTSD because I've never been to combat. And the coolest part of this is him looking at the Marine saying, no, he's a disciple now, right? He's saying, no, it doesn't matter. Trauma's trauma. So, that's so cool. I was on the flight. I actually put a pair of sunglasses on because I had tears in my eyes the whole right, reading all these emails. It's like crazy. We don't get over the things that traumatize us. God hasn't invented the time to heal all wounds. And heal traumatic wounds. And he hasn't even conceived of that much time. Right? Coexisting with trauma is our new normal. Some days we can talk about it. Some days, like me and all of us experienced this week, it reaches out and grabs you and it freezes you. That's just normal, man. That's normal. Trying to talk about this kind of stuff. It's okay. Don't overreact when you have those things. Tell everybody it's your allergies, that you're allergic to pollen. And they say, yeah, our pollen count is zero here. And then you say, shut up, man. Nobody asked you. So don't overreact. Be gentle with yourself. There's a lot of unmarine-like advice here. But the marine-like thing that is here is being unafraid to go there and being stronger coming out of it. That's what I love about this stuff. It is so wrapped in the culture of the Marine Corps that it makes me really happy. Number four, being damaged by trauma is normal. Being disabled by it's rare. Right? Trauma changes a part of us. It doesn't completely rewire us. And if you learn about it, you can learn how to live with it. And another point in there is life requires physical, mental, and spiritual toughness. Life is not for the faint of heart. If you're not tough, you're going to have a tough time in life. Because life will get tough. And you need to be as tough or tougher to deal with it. And one of the things about mental health, we fake it. people assume because he doesn't talk about it, he's okay. Because he doesn't shed a tear, he's okay. And he or she. And let me tell you something. That ain't true. Okay? We're faking it for the most part. Number five, stay connected to your tribe and talk. And this is probably, you know, probably one of the biggest things I would say behind, and it flows logically. Once you accept you're never going to get over it, right, stay connected to the people in your life that know you and will be honest with you. And, you know, a lot of times for those of us who serve, they're our battle buddies, they're our besties, and because they will call bullshit on you. And you need that when you're going through difficult times in your life, right? And the other part is talk about it. And so staying connected, never easier, and then talk about it. And it's not easy. It doesn't come natural for everybody. And but the only good things happen when you talk about it. Number six, physical fitness is vital to mental health. I won't beat that to death, but I think everybody knows. When you start exercising, your brain feels better. Number seven, I always say, is the most probably the most awkward one for me, and that is stop abusing drugs and alcohol, and if necessary, quit. Nobody's ever dealt with trauma successfully that's abused alcohol or drugs. Nobody, zero. Nobody on this planet Earth. And so, and that's just a fact. And we shouldn't flinch from saying it. And I play some audio with, you know, four different people on it who were all partiers, and they talk about it. When they say they're drinking, they say things like, yeah, I drank a case of beer and then a bottle of wine or a fifth of whiskey in a night. Oh, yeah, see how it works with your problems after you drink a half a bottle of tequila. So, like, that kind of drinking, not like max two gin and tonics, right? And then after dinner, a glass of Bailey's. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. So, you know, talk about that. And then I say, don't listen to me because I partied in the shallow end of the pool. Right? Listen to people who partied in the deep end of the pool. And they'll talk to you about what their lives were like when they were dealing with trauma and drinking. And so I play that. And then number eight, through education and training, develop practices to check post-traumatic stress reaction. So when you feel it in you, and if you have it, you know what it feels like. What do you do? How do you off-ramp it, right? How do you channel it someplace so it doesn't, you don't blow up? Do you go for a run? Do you listen to music? Do you play music? Do you go spend time with your kids? How do you, you know, how do you decompress? How do you vent that in some kind of way that keeps you between the left and right lateral limit? And so you got to learn those things. And you got to develop those individually. You got to find out what helps you. Maybe it's working on cars. Josh had a great way of talking about it. He said, "What do you do where you lose track of time?" And one Marine we were talking to said, "I work on cars." He said, "All right. When you feel that, go work on a car." So talk about that. And then one other part of developing wellness practices is dealing with mental health providers, right, and medication. And the way we articulated that, and I think it was really good for Marines, the way we do first aid in the Marine Corps is the first form of aid is self-aid, helping yourself. You get shot in the leg, right? You can put a tourniquet on. You can put a pressure bandage on. The next form of help is buddy aid. One of your fellow Marines comes over and they help you. Then the third form is the corpsman. You know, our EMT comes over and begins to render aid as well. And then beyond that, you know, you get evacuated to a higher echelon. And Josh made this point. The mental health community is trying as hard as they can. But we normally don't do self-aid, buddy aid. You know, we don't do the local things. It's either I have mental health problems. Well, I don't know what to tell you. So you go see a therapist. And so we talk about that. And the point I make is you have to drive your care. And I got this from Jeremiah Workman. If you don't like your therapist, if your therapist won't do what you want them to do, and for me, the thing I talk about is you go in to see a therapist. You sit down and talk. What happens at the end of the hour? See you next week. Okay, doc. Thanks. Shake hands and leave. At what point, what's the do out? And so I say, you drive that. You walk in and say, here's what I want. I'm gonna tell you stuff. I want to know what you think, and I want you to help me correct this stuff. Okay? I just don't want to tell you a story. You take notes, and then me leave. What does that accomplish? And my point is, if you don't do that, that's why a lot of people stop going. And we don't want you to stop getting care. We want you to get care. So you have to ask them, hey, this is what I want. And then I say, if I was your therapist and you were dealing with trauma, at the end of the session, I would look at you and I'd say, okay, here's where we're going with this, right? You're not going to drink for 2 weeks till we see each other again. And you're going to PT, you're going to go work out 14 out of the next 17, I'm sorry, 10 out of the next 14 days. So you can take the weekend off, but you got to do it 5 days a week at least. I want you to read these two things. And when you come back, I'm going to listen to you. We're going to talk about what I told you to read, and then we're going to correct the course. But we're going someplace with this. I said, look, that's my example. But what you've got to do is you've got to own your own therapy. You've got to be responsible for it and not quit going because they didn't give me what I wanted. Well, did you tell them what you wanted? So trying to fill in that space between us here and the therapist. So those are the eight commandments, and we talk about that. The last part is the coolest part and the best part of it all. And that is, to me, it's the mentoring part, which is, it kind of links this whole circle together. And the circle is, this is reality, okay? This is how it applies to you, right? The next part is, these are the techniques, and you just heard the wellness techniques, that you can use to cope with them so you can live the life you want to live. Okay? But that isn't enough. That isn't enough. We're Marines. We are in it to win it. All right? We didn't go through door number 4 and choose the craziest branch of the service. Right? You know, we are like one-tenth of 1%. If less than 1% serves, the Marine Corps is the smallest branch of the service. And when you look at that fraction, you know, you are like maybe 1 or 2 tenths of 1% of the population. That's what you are. And we don't really think of ourselves like that, right? Marines don't think of themselves like that. But that's what you are that chooses door, the people that choose door number 4. And what defines us? We want more. We want harder. We want better. And so in doing that, you know, then the challenge is learn about this stuff. And once you learn, share it. Touch the lives of other people. So winning is giving. Right? You have to learn to coexist, and that's the first part of this. Get your hands around it, learn, and then armed with that knowledge. And I told them, you know more about trauma than 99% of the population right now after this class. I kid you not. If you'll read this thing and you'll do some studying, you know more about this stuff than most people, because we don't talk about this stuff. We do a little bit in the military, civilians not a bit. So share it. By sharing this, we lift others. When we lift others, our heart grows. Now, we can never undo the traumas that's been done to us, so we can never lighten our load, but when we help others, our shoulders get stronger. I'm not sure how that happens, but it does. And your load feels lighter. Your load feels lighter. And then the last thing I say about the winning part is, when we mentor others, for we that have gone through door number four, it lines up perfectly with the purpose-driven life that we set out to live when we walk through door number four, to devote ourselves to things greater than ourselves. And by doing that, you make your community strong, you make your family strong, you make the nation better. That's how we win. So that is in response to somebody saying, hey, could you clue us in on the 8 commandments and the 2 goals? So that's it. All right. I should at some point open the show. So I need to do that. With apologies, the United States Marine Corps band makes it official on this morning. Dedicated to the Marines and sailors, the spouses of the 2nd Marine Division. Thank you for being so gracious to myself, Mike Musselman, and Josh Goldberg. And I just want to wish you all the best of luck. Embrace this and change people's lives. And I will be back there in April, and we'll be happy to do this again. This is dedicated to you.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
during firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. He goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
That's where it came from. I heard that word and I said, that's it. Post-traumatic winning. Anyway, we'll check the weather around Marineland. Currently in Quantico, it is cloudy and 32 degrees. At Camp Lejeune, it is cloudy and 37. Granbury, Texas, where the gunner is, cloudy and 37. Go figure. 29 Palms, cloudy and 44. Camp Pendleton, clouds and 53. Okinawa, clear, dark and 62. In the Al-Anbar province, in Ramadi to be exact, it's clear, dark, and 56. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, in Marja, it is cloudy, dark, and 53. And in the Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is 58 degrees and raining. Going to rain all day. Looking for a high of 60. Rain tomorrow, rain on Wednesday. There you have it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't touch that dial. Brigadier Major General David J. Furness talking about this past week, why he wanted to bring the post-traumatic winning program to Camp Lejeune, what he thought of it. He explains, he did an introduction that is something he's never done in public, which he talks about he and his wife finding out about their daughter having a form of mental retardation and what that was like and how everybody lives with their trauma. And that the Marines and sailors of the 2nd Marine Division could do it too. And pretty impressive. So you'll hear that interview. Don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up on a Monday here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.